Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics and Rhetoric. Berto is your host. Thank you so kindly for being a part of the show. We have a great show for you today. We have an interview that's going to inspire you. But I tell you what, let's go ahead and get started. Welcome aboard, Nanette Bird Smith. How are you doing today? AVQ, a.k.a. Michael Rudnin. Welcome aboard. Paul Fleming, ATL, checking in. And guess what? ATL and Paul Fleming's checking in on time. Brige MCP, leader of the PDR Posse, welcome aboard. Ugh, hate when FB comments are upside down so you can't see them all. Nanette Bird Smith, hi y'all. It just sounds like that's what you would say, Nanette. Hi y'all. Deb Denny, hi everybody. Afternoon all from our one and all, our union expert, Yvette Avery Herod. How are you doing, Yvette? Welcome aboard, welcome aboard. And Michael says, reality winner was the FBI's head on a hike for Trump. It's time to set her free. It's time to end the war on whistleblowers. I remember reality. That's been a while. I forgot about that. That's a long time. Michael also says, Egberto, I want to try something different. There is a trio of memes I'd like your reaction to. Only the first one is animated. Man, why don't you officially become a producer of the show, brother? You know, then Brige MCP can say, Berto, there you go. You got to volunteer. Kidding. All right. Not kidding. Anyhow, let's see what your animation says here, buddy. Oh, that's good. How the taxes on the wealthy have fallen. Let's go ahead and play the animation because that's a good one. That's a very good one. There we go. That is from Michael Rudnin Research, how taxes have gone over the last 70 years. It just shows you that the rich continue to pilfer us all. And I repeat, the rich continue to pilfer us all because they could pay for the services to get us pilfered. So that is what's been happening. And to put it bluntly, we need to go back to the tax rates of the 60s. Punto y final. Will that happen? I doubt it. Let's see what is this other one. Let's see what the other one says. Here is this other meme. The gap between productivity and a typical worker compensation has increased dramatically since 1979. Let me tell you what's interesting. What you're looking at on the screen is something that I've discussed with economist Professor Richard Wolff. And what we showed is, you see that gap in that line that Rudnin is showing in that graph that he puts there? Let me tell you what made up that graph. Because people's standard of living didn't change all that much over that period. So you have to ask, what filled that gap? Guess what started to occur? And you can query Dr. Wolff on this and also a couple of other economists that I've had on the show before. The new form of stealing, official form of stealing, the official form of taking your money is something called credit. So while the corporations kept you at a standstill, even as productivity increased, it means they continue to make a whole lot of money. But they still need you to spend so they can continue making money. Because remember, your spending is their money. Your excess labor, meaning what they don't pay you, is their money. So they get a double bang. And how do they get a double bang? Folks, get ready for this. I've spoken about this before. They gave you credit. So when Citibank and Chase and Magna Cum Laude and all these guys gave you credit, what they were saying is, I want you to keep spending like you've always been spending, like a mad person. We'll give you consumer credit. You then owe us your life. And you will continue to work like a slave. Remember I said capitalism is nothing more than antiseptic slavery? So they continue to make the money from your spending. You were spending the money they loan you, which they hadn't paid you. And they get exponential growth in their wealth. Well, this isn't showing. That line is actually not an exponential growth. That line actually shows a proportional growth. But that is an income. When you talk about wealth, their wealth grew exponentially. that we cover in another subject. Michael Rundin, I thank you very much for bringing those graphs, because it gives me, when you guys give me info like this, it gives me an opportunity to expand on what you're actually seeing there, because the graph tells you one story. But that's not enough. The story that the graph gives you is not enough. You have to get the full context to see how they're really screwing us all. Because, you know, on MSNBC, they'll put that graph up and say, look at the difference between productivity and hourly compensation. And then they'll say, and you'll just look at it, like, yeah, I guess they didn't pay us what they should, right? But it's a lot deeper. They didn't pay you. And also, not only did they not pay you, they also put you in indentured servitude to them by having to owe them to keep spending at the levels that they want you to spend, so that their income can remain on the growth path, so that their wealth can continue on the exponential growth path, and you remain below status quo. Thank you for the graph. Let's continue. Deborah John from LA, welcome aboard. Nanette Bird Smith, hi all. Bridge MCP. Continuing, let's see who else we got here. Jessica Taylor says, good afternoon. Eric Hay says, hi all. Interesting times in Houston with tigers running around and criminals being caught because of it. Yeah, image is in, is it? E2247, Representative Dan Bishop puts up a federal bill opposing teaching critical race theory. Ridiculous, isn't it? More dumbing of U.S. kids, more destruction of human empathy. Civil war never ended, so sad. Bridge MCP, LOL. Michael and I am in on PC. Bridge MCP. Bruce Pollard said, laundry done, cat box clean. What should I do for the next few hours? Listen to Politics Done Right. And folks, if you're listening to Politics Done Right, I need a big favor. Every one of you that is listening to Politics Done Right, whether you're conservative, liberal, or in between, I ask you one favor, because I want to expand the audience, the podcast audience and otherwise. Please share what you're watching right now on your wall. Everything about to get expensive and living too. Of course it's going to get more expensive. Why is it going to get more expensive? We spent a year of not spending money. Think about it. This isn't shocking. It isn't unusual. This 4.5%, I thought it would be higher. It shouldn't be shocking to anybody that we are going to get a temporary fast blip in inflation. People have been saving their money. They haven't been going to restaurants. They haven't been driving. They haven't been flying. None of that. All that money that they would have been used then is out in the bank. You know how you get that money back out? Everybody's going to start spending. And when you start spending because of supply problems, we have a lot of people not working yet. You get some spot shortages, and the prices of those items increase. That's just how capitalism and supply and demand put together work. Nobody has a heart that says we won't raise the prices. We'll still keep the prices at a good level. And when the supply is done, it's done. Capitalism said, if you read my first book, As I See It, when I came to this country, I thought, wow, if you have an abundance of product, the price of that product doesn't have to be, you know, it stays moved. But if you have a scarcity of the product, you can actually just keep it the same. Just when you run out, you run out. I learned that's not how we function, but that's another story. I wrote a little story about how silly I was about the American economic system when I came to the United States. Bishop is among the Republican legislators who, by calling the entire states to be disenfranchised in a 2020 presidential election, fomented the terrorist attack on the Capitol. True. Let's see. Bridge MCP didn't get an FB notification for the show, and now it's like this. Even after refresh, Venton, sorry, it's annoying. I hear you, girl. I hear you. Eric Hayes, government is good model teaching people to live off credit and use Visa to pay. Government credit is not the same as personal credit. Brother Hayes, please learn. Please educate yourself to what you're learning from us all here. It's important. There are two credit is not the same for the government as it is for the average American citizen. It is just different. I haven't used a credit card in 15 years. Good for you. Lucky for you. Good for you. All that good stuff. Michael Rudden and Egberto, don't forget the third one. What was the third one? Let me put the third, see what the third one is. Financial pro tip. Okay, I'll put that up for you. Financial pro tip, if you're returning to a job that's been closed for over a year, a lot of your coworkers are probably starved for social contact. Fill that void by talking about unionizing. Thank you. I agree with you wholeheartedly, Senor. Eric Hayes, you keep skipping. All right, let's continue. House Republicans introduced legislation to fully defund critical race theory using two bills. These guys are nuts. Nanette Bird said, I use my credit cards and reap the cash rewards and pay the balance. I try to pay the balance off early. Every now and then, though, I get stripped and I can't, but most of the times I try to do that. That is what I try to do, Nanette. Bruce Pollard says, in fantasy worlds, a chimera is often an animal made up of stitched together parts to make a new breed of beasts. In genetics, it's an organism that contains genetically different tissues. It's often seen as a cat with different coloring on each side of its face. Lee Grant, hi all. Lee, you're late. You're late, Brother Lee. Deb Den in Michigan introduces a fact-checking bill. Fact-checkers have to register for $1 million, fined $1,000 per day for violation. Who checks the fact-checkers? I don't know. But, you know, when things are based on math, no fact-checkers are needed. Like, supply-side economics is a failure. That's based on math. So anybody who believes in supply-side economics, they're misleading and they're fooling themselves. And put it bluntly, they're lying. Inflation, inflation, devaluation, devaluation. We've lived with 4 to 5% inflation for decades. And not only that, inflation is necessary. It's a good thing. A certain amount of inflation is a good thing. It is what allows people who borrow money from a bank to pay it back with smaller dollars. Makes things better for the middle class. I could tell you a whole lot of stories about that, but that's beyond the scope of the show today. Let's see what else I've got. I'm skipping a bunch here. Problem is 2022 election may tip the House and Senate into these fools' majority. Okay, E2247, I want you to take that back. We have a lot of work to do. Let's do it. Let's not sit back and be worried about gerrymandering is going to do this or whatever. The reason I talk to Republicans, Democrats, liberals, and everybody is we are all humans. We can all think. There are crazies, but we can all think. And most Republicans as well can think. If you can get into them, oh, go get my book, please. It's worth it. How to talk to your right-wing relatives, friends, and neighbors. All of us working together, brothers and sisters, we can make a difference. We are not going to give in to losing in 2022 because of structural, undemocratic issues with the way the founders created this country. The founders created an undemocratic country. A undemocratic country. But we can mitigate it with education. Let's do it. Let's not be negative. We are going to go out there and we're going to win it. What is the show about today? Republican representative conservative doesn't mean nuts. Kaleda Harris, or rather Republican representative says conservative doesn't mean nuts. And likewise, Kaleda Harris build a town for the unsheltered. Okay. Kaleda Harris discusses the new project to house the unsheltered, and Denver Riggleman said conservative does not mean crazy or nuts. We're going to first start with the congressman because I want you to listen to this and then we'll take it on the other side. I want you to listen to this congressman, what he had to say about the formation of a third party and what the Republicans intend to do in 2022 and 2024 was spot on, but look at how he characterizes Republicans and conservatism. I think it's quite interesting. He hit the nail on the head. Check this out, and we'll take it on the other side. Because I tell you what, we are going to have to get pretty damn busy.
You just saw the messaging for the 2022 midterms. That is what you just saw right now is election integrity, loyalty to Trump, and then trying to hit Biden on taxes. That's really what's going to happen in 2022.
Well, let me ask you this about, you know, what comes next, because NBC News is reporting that more than 100 influential Republicans plan to release a call for reforms within the GOP alongside a threat to form a new party if change isn't forthcoming. What do you make of that effort? Is there room in this country for an anti-Trump conservative party, or does it really even have a base really outside of New York City and D.C.?
Well, Jeff, I know exactly what it says because I'm one of those 100. So it's really interesting, you know. So I'm good on that, right? And I know exactly what it says, and it's not a threat. It's a promise. And if we can't, somehow work from the inside to go to a facts-based policy position away from fantasy and ridiculousness and disinformation and conspiracy theories, I think we're going to have a tough time in the future. Short term, it's very good for the GOP. We lost this battle. Liz, me, Adam, all these individuals, as you guys remember, I mean, I was ousted because I officiated a same-sex wedding and came out against QAnon. I mean, those two things right there were very difficult for the Virginia base to accept for me. So I've been through this. We've lost this battle, but the war is long, and I think you're going to see a new front starting to merge, and I hope so. I'm going to try. I can't guarantee success. That would be ridiculous to say that, but I think we have the opportunity right now for people who aren't afraid to step up and say, hey, conservative doesn't equal crazy, and I think that's really the baseline message of this, is you can be conservative, be that sort of balance to the left and the right that we need in this country, and not be nuts.
In effect, he's just called all the Trumpists, another Republican, crazy and nuts. And how can we think otherwise? When we had a congressperson today at the January 6th hearings that they had today say that if you really want to know what happens, just look at the Capitol. People were just out there taking pictures. There was nothing really happening. There was no war. Folks, we are in an alternate state of reality for a particular percentage of population. I don't know, 13, 20, 20% of the population, likely 40, 50% of Republicans, that is what they believe. Is it that they're delusional? Is it that they are willfully ignorant? Is it that they are misled because they only seek one source of information? Well, actually, I think it's all of the above. All of the above. Some come from one area, some come from the other. But we have a few sensible Republicans whom I disagree with completely on policy that I must respect for what they're intending to do. I hope they get that other party going. Because the one thing this country cannot take is to have the feeble-minded, to have those who are not based in reality somehow attain power, because that is the end of America. That is the end of America. Anyhow, so folks, let's see what else you got out there before I go to the interview. Para ver que tenemos aquí. Stop the CRT Act would ban all federal funding for promoting or teaching critical race theory. It will also implement former guy's executive order that banned CRT from being promoted in federal government. You know what is interesting? I didn't even know for quite a while what critical race theory was. I mean, I understood the concepts. I just didn't know it was this new thing that was being pushed in high schools, etc. And then I did some research and found out, no, it's not really being pushed in school or anything. But what is being pushed in school is telling the truth. Did Christopher Columbus discover America? Hell no. There were a lot of people here in America way before Christopher Columbus. Did we get founded on equality for all? Hell no. Women couldn't vote. Blacks weren't people. The Indians were killed. So, I mean, telling the truth. These guys want us to stop telling the truth about our origins. And by telling the truth about oranges, it doesn't say anything about us as a people. What it shows is that every single country can atone. Every single person can atone, right? But we need to know the truth. You get insurrections and all of that because you're living a lie. We're living a lie as to who America is, what America has always been. And until we get over that, we will continue to have people being able, one of the reason we're dumbifying America so badly is because we need Americans to be dumb, unfortunately. Because if we knew our history, we would know the things that we did. We would know the reasons we have to atone. We will know the reasons why we need to be the way we are. Anyhow, we're close. I got an interview to do, but since it's going to be a while for the interview, let me just do my ass real fast. If you are just joining us, please remember, click that join button and become a member of the PDR Posse. Become a member of the PDR Posse, run by Bridge MCP, and also consider getting one of our mugs. Our mugs designed in-house by our own Bridge MCP. And how can you get our mug? You can get our mug by simply going to our store, politicsdoneright.com/store. But there is a specific link to get our mug. And if you don't see the join button on YouTube, or if you're on Facebook Live or Twitch or Periscope, please go ahead and go to politicsdoneright.com/YouTube, politicsdoneright.com/YouTube, and you will always be able to, for a tiny, tiny bit, support what we do, which is very important. We go above and beyond what you hear in the news. You notice how I explained the graphs that Rodnan brought. Usually you see those things on TV and they just tell you the antiseptic stuff. They don't tell you what it really means to humanity, what it really means to the workers. Ah, this is what it really means here. So please go to politicsdoneright.com/YouTube to become a member of our PDR posse. Alternatively, you can become a patron by going to politicsdoneright.com/patron. Patron is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Please become a member via Patreon, or you can also support us via PayPal, politicsandright.com/PayPal, politicsandright.com/PayPal. Alternatively, you can get all our books and stuff at our store. Our books, our books, our t-shirts, our masks, all that good stuff you can get at our store, politicsandright.com/store, politicsandright.com/store. And by the way, if you must shop at Amazon, all our books are in one place at Amazon at politicsandright.com/books, politicsandright.com/books. You go there, you find all, todo, todito, todito, todong, all the books that we sell, that I wrote, they're right there. And this is one of the Amazon book. Okay, I'm done with that. I think I'm done with that. Did I miss anything? I don't think I did. Okay, let's go ahead and listen to Kalita Harris. I am so inspired by what she's doing. I want you to check this out, and then we'll talk on the other side. Let's go ahead and let's get busy. Welcome to one more edition of Politics Done Right. Today we have a special guest. This woman is doing something new that it's dear to my heart. It should be dear to us all. Kalita Harris is the owner of Reel to Reel Productions. She received a vision to start her own production company while attending the University of South Carolina. She is a producer director of the documentary series entitled No Address, which depicts the criminalization of homelessness and how communities across the country can implement proven practical solutions to this growing epidemic. Her other credits include script supervisor and editor for a drama series entitled The Hard Pass and producer for the 1960s film Through Her Eyes, which has won various awards in the film market. Kalita, welcome aboard Politics and Right.
Greetings. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be back on your program.
Look, let me tell you, I'm excited to have you because I tell you something. I got an email and a GoFundMe email for this thing. And then before I realized it was coming from you, I was like, wow, great concept. I'm like, wait, that is Kalita that's putting this together. I mean, you've gone throughout this country. You have done a lot of interviews with, you don't call them the homeless. Tell me what you call them.
The unsheltered.
Why do you do that?
Because homeless has such a stigma to it. When you think homeless, you think, like you're not even a part of society. You're just, you know, something that's not human. So the unsheltered is just people without homes. And that can include anyone.
And, you know, from our first interview, that was one of the concepts that most stuck to me when you started to really give a meaning to what the condition really was, what society has done to people. Homelessness, as you said, is dreadful. Unsheltered means something that has to be fixed.
Yes.
And, you know, and I really, really enjoyed that. Now, before we get into your new project, tell me a little bit about your successes with the No Address.
Successes with No Address. I'm just excited that the Columbia series version has just taken off. We are in six virtual theaters across the country. Now we're down to two because their run has gone. It was like a 30-day to 60-day run, but they have done so well. Great feedback from the community. People want to get involved. Like, what's the change? So that's why I created this foundation, because if people are looking to me for answers or to want to help, I need to be able to provide them with something, because I can't just say, hey, go to your continuum of cares or go to, you know, your city council person, because you're just going to get the runaround. So it's going to take us to be the change we want to see. So I want to be able to create that platform for someone to say, hey, I want to get involved, and then show them the next steps to get involved. So now I am creating.
Wait. I don't want you to go to the creating yet. We're going to get there. What I want you to do is tell our audience what a little bit about No Address, though, what it is that you did that gives you that gives you now the gravitas to do what you are going to be doing in this new project. Because, you know, I see, Kalita, a whole lot of foundations, and I see a lot of nonprofits, and they go out and do things, right? They're good at heart. They know what they want to do, and they see things on the external, and they know what they want to do. Mm-hmm. What I love about the project that you're doing is you went and engaged yourself with these people. You became a part of these people as you did what? Tell us a little bit about No Address.
So No Address, for the people that do not know, I started back in 2013. So this was a 7-year project. It became my life, you know. So I was in my downtown office, and I read in the newspaper that Columbia City Council wanted to do something about their homeless issue. And it was appalling when I read it, because they had three options. And one was just to leave town, go to a shelter on the outskirts of town, or be subject to arrest if you're caught on the streets. And these ordinances are just like loitering, panhandling, sitting on a bench, lying on a bench, you know, just things where they just don't want your face to be seen, or they want to keep the beautification of these business districts, you know. So I was like, well, I have a production company. I was doing more marketing videos, live events, things like that. And I said, well, I have all the tools. Let me go ahead and start documenting what's around me. And that's how it started. I would communicate with these humans all the time, because most people, you know, congregate downtown. And I don't look at human beings as their situation. You know what I mean? It's how you treat me, how we treat each other. So I'm an empath. So I'm like, what if that were me and I had to leave town? And I had to disappear. Where would I go if I had nowhere to go? You know what I mean? And don't just tell me to go to a shelter when I should be able to have that option, you know? So that's when I started documenting this. And I just connected with these beautiful spirits. Like someone said, like, these probably are our ancestors from other, you know, dimensions coming back to this planet, you know? So I'm like, you treat people the way you want to be treated. So I have really, like, some of them have, you know, left this planet, and I was there in the hospital room when they did. So I made a strong connection with these people. And now I'm like, their voices need to be heard on so many levels. So it was just, it started in South Carolina. Then I went to North Carolina. Then I went to LA, then Atlanta. So it is just blossomed into this documentary, you know. And now I am doing Atlanta. So the goal is to have that done by the end of this year. And then I'm going to put it down and focus on the future and the vision that's been given to me.
And your vision, as I understand it, starts with this foundation that you're starting to fund via GoFundMe. And like I said, when I saw that, it was like, great. She's taking it. And I didn't know it was you at first until I said, wait, Kalita. Oh, okay. It's you're taking it to the next level. In other words, you've learned a lot and you decided to do something. You know, we always talk about those of us that do a lot of talking, right? What kind of actions that are we going to put against that? And I, you know, when I'm being introspective, I do the same. What am I? Okay, I do a lot of talking. We do a lot of talking. How do we actually make that fundamental difference in people's lives for the things that we talk about that we know need to get done? You're doing that. You are doing that. And I think that is so important.
So I am here to talk about the ultimate goal, which is to obtain land to build sustainable communities for the unsheltered. So what does that look like? That looks like all of this. It can be 1 acre, 2 acres, 5 acres, 50 acres. It doesn't matter. We can just build on the land whatever we want. And that is affordable, sustainable living, which can be tiny homes, container homes, steel homes. We want to have wraparound services, all of these things on the land to provide for those that are without homes. And it doesn't make sense that millions of Americans do not have shelter or food. So we want to add agriculture and organic farming to the land as well for self-sustainability. So no one has to worry about getting a job anymore. We can have entrepreneurs making money through agriculture. So we want to create all of this on the land, and we need your support. We need your donations. We need your organizations, even the people boots on the ground. We want to provide that foundation for you all. So let's collaborate. And it's going to take us to be the change that we want to see.
So please tell me your project that you're funding right now.
So I was like you with the nonprofits. I don't know if I want to go that route. I don't know. You know, I just want to, you know, just make connections and create some change within the policies that are going on. Because a lot of people, you know, unless you're a big organization, address this issue on, you know, on a political scale, if you will. So I've tried. I have spoke with council people. I have spoke with that. But it's just a dead end. It's not going anywhere. So I'm like, well, how can I tell people to get involved with politics when it's not going anywhere? And I, like I say, it's been a century, over a century to get this right. And now something has to be done. Something different has to be done, or just something has to be done. Because I don't even know if anything has really been done. You know, it's more of a Band-Aid that people are doing. So right now, housing is a human right. And I feel like what we're going to create with the No Address Foundation is villages. We want to have villages for the unsheltered. At first, when I used to talk about this, you know, I had critics and like, oh, you can't just put people there. You're isolating them, or you're going to do this, or you're going to do that. And now you see all of these communities are popping up doing the same thing. So, you know, it takes one to do it, and then everybody will jump on board, right? So I am creating this village. I had the vision to have like steel homes or tiny homes or container homes, whichever one, you know, just for self-sustainability, because steel homes and container homes can withstand category five hurricanes. So I want to have land. That's the first step, is getting the land. So it can be an acre, 5 acres, 50 acres, whatever. You can donate the land if you like. But my goal, I've already picked out the land where I want it and everything. So I'm raising funds to get the land. And then on top of that, put the housing, then have wraparound services, medical clinics, you know, then agriculture on top of that. So people can actually become entrepreneurs through agriculture. So you don't have to beg for a job, because you're going to be self-sustainable with food and capital. And also like carpentry, all of the domestic type jobs that aren't really being fulfilled anymore. But a lot of the unsheltered have those skills when it comes to it, because half, I would say in Columbia, a lot of those, Columbia, South Carolina, a lot of those buildings were done by the unsheltered through day labor programs and things. So they're putting their work. So if you didn't have them, you wouldn't have this infrastructure, you know? So I say, let me take all of your skills, and we're going to build on this land, whatever we want, you know? So I'm calling on nonprofits, grassroots organizations that want to sit at the table, that keep begging to be at the table in the boardrooms and having these conversations. Forget about that. I want to be like, hey, you come to our table and you can provide all of your resources right there on the land. So that's my goal, is to start in Columbia, and then wherever the universe takes it, I'm willing to go.
Well, you know, I think it's a great idea. You know, I just got to write in my book, How to Make America Utopia. And but the thing about it, I'm calling it the unfinished book, right? And the reason why is I think I'm going to attach it to a site where we can learn from people like you. In other words,
I expressed the political environment that have things screwed up as they are today, and some solutions that government can provide. And what I like about your solution is you are also not to absolve the government from what they must do, but you're also providing a solution that's coming from, we are going to use our blood, sweat, and tears to do something and not lift ourselves up by our bootstraps. That's a silly statement that we've learned to say, but actually together build something that is ours, that isn't something that was afforded us, you know? So I love what you're doing, and I want, and I hope that by us giving exposure to you by whatever other exposure you can get, that can come to fruition, because I would like nothing more than to either fly up to Georgia or get on my bike and do a cycle into Georgia and see your community as you build it out there and show people that, you know what, many people care and this can be done.
Yes. And through these platforms, and I give thanks for you, like, people are starting to come together. I'm connecting with some beautiful humans that are on the same mission, you know? So I'm like, let's not try to do everything individually. Let's collaborate, because, you know, we can get things done.
Not only that, you use the best out of everybody. Like I said, you know, I read your document. The first thing I did was, like I told you, the first time we spoke, I learned about the difference in homelessness and the unsheltered. You know, there are certain things that when it hits you, you never forget, right? And that was like, oh, okay, that is how we need, that's the viewpoint that we need to have on that. And, you know, moving on, learning from your experiences that you show in your video, a lot of these people could be us. So many people don't realize that.
And let's talk about this, the moratoriums.
Oh, the eviction moratorium. Tell America about that, because what happens is people think, oh, we're recovered.
Right.
They don't understand that a lot of people that even right now are employed, they are in dire straits. Explain the moratorium, the moratorium to them.
So the moratoriums was enacted, federal moratoriums were enacted in March of 2020. So let's imagine if someone did not pay their rent April of 2020, they can still stay in their homes, but it's been documented when the moratoriums are lifted, you have to pay all that back. And then that's when the court cases start. You know, so you're looking at a year and a half worth of, you know, that can be $10,000, $20,000 that people owe if they lost their job and couldn't pay for anything, only just food, clothing, you know. So now, last week they had lifted the moratoriums because they said it's unconstitutional. The CDC had these moratoriums. It wasn't federal anymore. But now the DOJ, the Department of Justice, is appealing it.
I think the judge put a stay on the order, so we're still a little bit okay.
We're still there. So they're appealing it. So you still have to go through the process. So they'll probably go into court next week. But now there are 18 states that have their own moratoriums. So they're kind of protected, you know, those states. And it's really just the big states. So a lot of these smaller states they're starting the eviction process. So now they're projecting about 40%, if everything goes the way they are going, they're projecting 40% of people being unsheltered.
That's amazing.
So what is America really gonna look like? So that's why I say, no, stop the judgment. Stop all of this, bring awareness to this issue, because it can be your friend, your cousin, your neighbor at this point. Then now you may want to have a voice and say, oh, this is just not right. This is so inhumane. And this is, yeah. And then a lot of those people that may end up on the streets don't know about the criminalization laws, right? And these ordinances that what they do, if they even sleep in their car, they can get arrested or get a citation. So it's all about educating first. And I say the solution to that is just do a clean slate, wipe out all of it from the banks to the tenant, start over. You know what I mean?
And, you know, a lot of people don't understand an economic system isn't divine. It was created by man. And notice I said it created by man. And yes. I really mean literally man. So if we had systems created by more folk, including women, etc., the economic system would look completely different than what we have today. Khalida, please tell our audience how they can be a part of your project, a project that is well deserving of everyone's support.
Well, you can get involved. You can contact me at noaddressdocumentary.com. I made the site where you can have everything on there. You could see the GoFundMe page, donate, get people involved, watch the documentary. Like I said, there's two more theaters that we're screening at. One is the Colonial Theater and one is the Guild Theater. And one's New Mexico and I believe California. Okay. So many of them. Right. But after that, we're going to keep it on the site anyway, just as a hub to have a home for the documentary. So just to get involved, donate, listen to the podcast, you know, just educate yourself. I have articles there, even other interviews. So it's a one-stop hub. So go to noaddressdocumentary.com. And then you can also follow us on our social media. IG is noaddressdoc, D-O-C. And Facebook is No Address DocuSeries.
Even if you have to remember all that stuff, you don't have to worry because it will all be in the blog post that goes along with this particular program. You'll be on today. Look, let me tell you, Khalida, you are an inspiration for what you're doing. Please continue doing what you're doing and please stay in touch and let us know how we can be of further assistance to your project. Folks, we've just spoken to Khalida Harris, the owner of Reel to Reel Production and the director producer of
No Edges documentary series.
And let me tell you, thank you so kindly for having been on Politics Done Right.
Thank you so much. And when we break ground, we'll do another interview.
Absolutely so.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, folks, I hope you like that. This is my second interview with Khalida. I remember when she did the documentary, which, you know, she went all around the country taking pictures and talking to people, the unemployed, the people. She don't call them homeless. She called them unsheltered. She said homeless is a bit too harsh. And it kind of gives people the wrong feeling. Okay, I need to ask her about what's going on with that R2 Pro. The R2 Pro Twitter account. I think it's actually, I need to make sure that I got it right. And let's see, what else is here? Oh, para ver. What's that? Okay, let's see. Continuing with the program. Let's go up to the messages that I have yet to take a look at. Let's see. Okay, you're always here discussing topics, sharing, learning. So why not join the PDR Posse? Listen to Bridge MCP. We are discussing the things of importance to us all. We are discussing that. And yes, Nanette Bird-Smith is one of the team members. Absolutely. Thank you, Nanette Bird-Smith. In National Review Cotton Slam, CRT saying it threatens U.S. military mission of defending in combat the Constitution and our way of life from enemies who wants to destroy and subjugate us. I don't know what the hell that means. Cotton said troops need to be ready to fight and if necessary die for each other regardless of their skin color, and that CRT would negatively impact the effectiveness of troops. Really? What in CRT will make me not want to defend my white brother if I'm in a foxhole? Does that say something about our military or does it say something about Senator Cotton? Because the truth of the matter is that's not what critical race theory is all about. It's all about the truth. And what is interesting, right, is the following. People of color know the truth because they live the truth. Critical race theory teaching what these folks go through, I think it does exactly the opposite. It makes people reconsider many of what they believed in the past.
it makes them forget about all the lies they've been told that gives them the preconceived notions they have of other people. So it blows my mind when people say things like that. I've never seen this before for your interviews. Account suspect. Yeah, I've never seen that. I got to check that out. You know, my account been suspended before too, so I know how that goes. You go ahead and you, if you write, let me give a good example of what I know can get somebody's account closed right now. There's a Palestinian-Israeli conflict right now. Get too Palestinian. Talk too much in favor of the Palestinian cause, and you see how quickly your account gets suspended. and they put it on evaluation, so that wouldn't surprise me at all. Cotton Senate bill could pass in this session of Congress. Good grief. It better not. Unhoused but not homeless. Yes, I like that. Unsheltered, exactly. When I think of homeless, my first thought goes to infrastructure investment. It's both the moral solution and the cheapest solution to build tiny homes for homeless people to get them off the streets. Absolutely. And tiny homes are inexpensive. And you know what I did? I have a friend at KPFT 90.1 FM. My radio station that I have the program at as well. And folks, don't forget, KPFT 90.1 FM is also in Fun Drive. So if you guys want to feel generous, don't only give to politics done right here on the program, consider giving to kpft.org. And of course, do it in the name of politics done right so that I get credit, so that they can say, oh, you're holding your weight here at KPFT. But yeah, kpft.org, they're in Fun Drive mode. Both of us need the support from you guys. So support politicsandright.com and support kpft.org. Anyhow, I'm continuing. Let's see. Lee Grant says CRT, critical race theory, is divisive, incorrect, and destructive propaganda. It results in a white school child feeling guilty for events they had no part on, and a black school child feeling they are a victim of oppression and cannot succeed because of it. Oh boy. Lee Grant, I can't answer that in the amount of time. Michael, we got a new member. Thank you so kindly. Let me go ahead and get that because I still have enough time to put this on the screen. I love all of you, and as every time you guys make a contribution, it is my responsibility to make sure that people see that we have all you great people listening to the program. So as I talk, now, I have an issue. When I say this, I don't say this condescendingly. I love when we have people like Lee Grant come on to the show and make those types of statements because Lee has pelotas. Lee has balls. Because a lot of white people like Lee feel that way. It is not my responsibility to get upset at all. A lot of people say, how do you do that, Egberto? How do you do that? It's not my responsibility to get upset. It is my responsibility to enlighten. That's my responsibility, to enlighten. So what I want to say is this. No, it's not. The white kid who feels, what is the word that he uses? He says, it results in white school child feeling guilty for the events. No. If the thing is, let me first say, Michael Wattier, thank you for being a new member of the PDR Posse, and I just placed you on the screen. Thank you so kindly for being a new member of the PDR Posse. Here's the deal. Please, folks, just hit that join button. You can become a member as well. Brother Grant, if we can tell the truth in a manner that says the following. The founders of this country were over a system. They created a system that was based on race. It was an evil structure that did wrong. But you cannot be blamed for the sins of your forefathers. You cannot be. What you can be blamed for is if you take that privilege and continue the pilfer of the bodies of others after having been told the truth. And what has happened in America is we have not been telling the truth for too long. We get a glory, glory, hallelujah moment every time on 4th of July, as opposed to celebrating what we are becoming. We try to celebrate what we were and what we still are. Example, if you are a native kid and you're sitting down in a class, remember, you're home to native parents. You're home to parents who have told you the lives that they've had. They've told you what was done to their grandparents. They've told you that they're still living on reservations, on land that was all otherwise theirs, that they've signed all kinds of contracts that were never realized. But they have to go to school and sit down next to that white kid and hear the great Christopher Columbus discovered America, and the founding fathers were so great. They have to hear that. Knowing that is something that is much deeper, and it affects your inner core. Because if you are saying all those things that have happened in the past still make these people good people, what about you? What about you who were wronged? Am I supposed to, I give you a perfect example. I'm in an organization. Let's see if I got time. I got 3 minutes to say this. I'm in an organization. We have board meetings all of the times. And I told one of the guys, these board meetings are a waste of time and we don't need to have all these other people listening to it because it's a waste of time and we don't move the things that we want to move forward. And he got mad at me and he said, look, it took the founding fathers 15 years to come up with the Constitution, so we can at least spend some time to do this. Here I am. I'm a person of color, black man, Latino, Caribbean. And I have to listen to him use as an example. And my white brothers and sisters, listen to this, because that may have not sounded bad to you, because why should it, right? But when he said that, it pierced me like a knife. And why did it pierce me like a knife? Because to me, it said, look, these guys, it made it worse. If they had said they came up the Constitution in a year, by the way, I know how long it took the Constitution. I know all that's history. But if they had said, it took 15 years. Let me tell you what that told me. It took 15 years for them to only resolve that I was worth three-fifths of a person. So I must be happy that we in our organization should feel good that it took the founding fathers 15 years to come up with a constitution that says I am worth three-fifths of a person and I can't vote, to come up with a document that says women, that implies women cannot vote, to come up with a document that doesn't protect white people, all white people, from having the honor of voting if they don't have land. So, context is everything. We should never, ever use past people like the founders to say to others in our country, our multicultural, and by the way, people may say, okay, we don't want to be a multicultural, we can do what the Republicans want to do now, just make it a white country, and then we won't have all those problems. This country could never be a white country because it never was. It simply was that those that have always been non-white had no representation, had no power. And it's just now that we're growing up, we're getting better as a nation, that we're being inclusive with everybody. We love everybody. So, Brother Grant, that child, that white child, should feel empowered from CRT. Brother Grant, that black child should feel empowered by CRT, because finally, we don't have to hide You know how many times you're talking to somebody and they slip? You know, when I'm out talking to my brothers and sisters here in Kingwoods and we get into deep conversation, 99% of the time by the middle of the conversation, they forget they're talking to a black Caribbean Latino guy, and then all their guards are down, which is what I want. And they start saying things and they say, it's like, thank you. That is what I want. That is what I want. Okay. Let's see. The documentary is only shown in 2 states. Denny, let's see. Continuing. Is there donation? I gave you that. Let me continue going down. Valetta has a good heart and ideas. Could she get a grant from the government? She probably could. This is amazing. Ready to help here in Atlanta, says Herod. Eric Hayes says, why doesn't she ping the rich ones like Buffett and Bezos or Musk? I like the way she's doing it. I really, really like the grassroots thing. I really prefer the grassroots thing. CRT says that Americans founding is fundamentally racist. Of course it is. That racism percolates throughout modern America's public and private institutions. Of course they are. I can tell you that from all the different businesses that I've had, that is a proven fact. There's nothing. Why shouldn't CRT say those real truths? And that the only way to eradicate racism is to destroy those institutions. Okay. When they say destroy that institution, do you understand what they mean, right? They don't mean, just tear it down. They mean, let's look at the police as an example. The police is a racist institution. How do you fix the police as a racist institution? Brother Clyburn said it. It's not a training issue. It's a matter of who you hire and what tasks those that you hire are to perform. So therefore, you hire people that aren't, you know, I mean, there's a large percentage of Americans that aren't racist. Those are the ones you want to hire, as opposed to who we hire right now. And two, there's a lot that the police is doing that they need not do. It should be relegated to other services. That is how you destroy an institution and rebuild it for what it is supposed to be. When it comes to banking, I could tell you about institution after institution that actually failed me only because of my hue. So there's nothing untrue about that statement, Lee Grant. And what I would suggest to you is that you do what I've suggested to several of my other friends. Be empathetic and try to live in the skin of somebody else. I think Kaleda is helping persons live better if she was not. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, thanks, Kaleda. Let's continue. Deborah John, Egberto, the end of American democracy began the moment Trump initiated his racist nationalist campaign, walking down those escalators following the authoritarian dictatorship. I agree. E2247, Egberto, I have no clue either. Tom Cotton is racist. CRT, Bridge MCP says, CRT is not blaming the current population. It's just about history. Thank you, Bridge. I tell you, I got the smartest people listening to this show. All right, let's see. Going down. Welcome to the PDR Posse. Thank you for welcoming our newest person to the PDR Posse. Michael Weider, thank you for coming on. Tiny home not allowed in neocolonial gentrification land. Really? I didn't know that. Rachel Port, welcome aboard. 24-hour member sent a letter to Secretary Blinken about the home demolitions in Jerusalem. By many, many of us Jewish people are fighting against the censorship of Palestinian voices. Love you, Rachel Port. My Jewish I think you said you're Jewish. There are so many Jewish people like you that are being silenced. So many. So many. Bruce Pollard, ouch. I don't know what that is about, but I can assume. Just remember, the original constitution only gave voting rights to white adult-owning males, meaning that minorities, women, and the poor didn't have a say. Thank you, Rudnin. Bruce, how did they vote in the preceding 15 years? Good question. Validated. Nanette, thank you. Let's see what else I say. What else can I say? Careful on that one. On which one? Reform, not destroy. For example, when we say defund the police, we mean to shift tasks of exactly. Going down. Deborah John, Egberto, the homelessness can end in America today, right now, if the government corporations chose to. But the facts to the matter is they won't, because they have the system set up. That's another program. But you're not wrong. Pardon stepping away for a few minutes early. Catch you next time. All right, folks. I want to say to everybody, thank you so kindly for being here with us today. I want to thank Michael. Michael Wattier, thank you so kindly for becoming our latest PDR Posse member. I want to tell you guys, I couldn't do this without you. I could not do this without you. Just like Kaleta Harris has been my inspiration with what she is doing, you being here is my inspiration, because we know we are going to accomplish something. My name is Egberto Willis. This is Politics and Right. And you know how I end this, baby. I am what? Out. We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please, join.